Hello and welcome to the Serious Games Podcast, all about playful methods for interactive trainings and facilitation. Let's get started.
And welcome back to the Serious Games Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the change game, and I have invited Nancy Beers. And Nancy is located in Harlem. We were just talking shortly. It's not Harlem, New York, but Harlem next to Amsterdam. And Nancy and I, we've met, maybe you have a hint for me, Nancy, but I think 2 or 3 years ago at Play 14. Yeah. So welcome to the show, first of all. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm really looking forward to it.
Perfect. And when I wrote that I would love to interview you and you can choose the game, you immediately wrote back, why don't we do the change game? That's one of my favorites. So two questions to start with. Number one, what should we know about you? And second, how would you pitch the change game to someone who has no clue what it's about?
First off, myself, I rediscovered playing actually at Play 14, which is sort of weird since my dad used to place playgrounds all over Holland. So it's a very natural thing to me to play. But somehow I just figured out that playing is such a good way to learn, and it comes so natural to me to play with other people that I figured out that I can actually make a living out of it. and combine it very much with my Scrum Mastering, because my company's name is the Happy Scrum Master, and that's what I am, a Happy Scrum Master. And next to that, I do a lot of playification, serious play, and give talks about things like that. So that's what I do.
Great.
The change game is, I think I also discovered it at a Play 14 and probably Luxembourg as well. It really ticks with me because it combines silliness with some deeper layers. And that's what I love most about serious games, that you don't need difficult attributes or anything for it. Just have a group of people play this game, have a lot of fun, and afterwards figure out what the deeper layers are underneath. For me, it's, on the one hand, it's a way to let people understand what change does to you.
Okay.
And second of all, it's a good game to explain how playification works, so more on a meta level. And that's what really sticks out, is there when I think about this game. That's okay. What makes it so powerful. Yeah.
Perfect. And now we have a couple of minutes to discover the silliness inside the game, but also all of the layers, or let's say maybe most of the layers that you normally share with your participants. So let's start with what do you need to prepare? So when you're thinking of the change game, is there anything in particular you need to bring or take or write or prepare?
Of course, from my perspective, it's very much in my head already. But if you're new to facilitating it, it comes in handy to have some written out rules or ideas.
Okay.
But what I basically need is a group of people, and with a group, a minimum of two will do, but a larger group will be more fun. That can be any layer of the organization. I love to play it with management teams, but any group of people will do. What you need is a room free of tables and chairs, so free space to move around, and nothing actually more in particular, except for a timer maybe, but you can use your phone or a time timer or anything.
Okay.
So bring some notes and have a group of people there, and then you're basically set to start.
To start. Okay, great. And if you decide to write the rules down, what would you write down? So what are the rules of the game?
The rules of the game are that you every round you have to change 5 things about yourself, but you don't give that away at the beginning of the game. But that's and afterwards you have to find the changes with your partner in crime.
So you
play the game in pairs.
Okay, there you go. That was a little missing link, I think. So you pair up, and the people are spread throughout the whole room, but in pairs.
Okay.
So when I start, what I love to use, and I learned that one in Hamburg, and maybe even from you, is find your soulmate, which is. Did I get that from you, or I'm not quite certain?
Yeah,
anymore,
it but. Might be from me, but look, I stole it from Corey, right? So the soulmate, a partner finding, a grouping exercise, that's a good
Do
one.
Do you want to explain it? Or
no, you go for it. And look, okay. I'll play this episode to Corey, and then I'll ask her if she will be on one of our next episodes here.
to do that as well. Thank you, Corey. The idea is find your soulmate. And by soul, you mean the soul of your shoe. So you look at the soul of your shoe and figure out who has the other soul that looks the most similar to your soul. So yeah, that's it helps because you break up the group in
yes.
They won't go for the usual suspects as being their partner. So it's yeah. it's very good way to mingle the group without and do it in a playful way, right?
Yes, so absolutely. Yeah.
And you can make some fantastic word jokes. At least that's what I'm saying. Who's still lost soul and things like that.
Absolutely. That's a very good one.
That's what I really like about that. So then you have pairs. That's
okay. So you have pairs. You have pairs standing around. Okay. And how does it start? So they're standing facing each other. And what do you say?
They're standing facing each other. And then I ask people for 1 minute, which sounds short. But if you ask them to do this for 1 minute, it will feel like a lifetime to observe each other very, very closely. What does their hair look like? What are they wearing? Do you think they're happy? So I'm already tuning in a little bit on the emotion part. Just observe each other. And you will see that people can get a little bit uncomfortable already. Because it's 1 minute is a long time to observe someone and being observed as well. So it's already getting a little bit awkward, right? After that minute, I ask them to stand back to back.
Okay.
And then I ask them to change 5 things about your appearance. So change 5 things about yourself.
Okay. So for example, I would take off my glasses, or I would remove an earring, something like that, right?
Yeah. Or people find button their shirts the wrong way, or people do all kinds of different things.
All right.
You ask them, when you're finished changing 5 things about yourself, raise your hands. So as a facilitator, you will know when everybody's ready. And then you ask them to turn again, facing each other, and find the 5 differences in your partner.
Okay.
That's the first round. Go for it. And when you're ready, raise your hand again. So you at least will know when the whole group is ready, which helps you as a facilitator.
Oh, so ready means when you found the 5 changes.
When you have found
changes.
The 5.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
If it takes too long, you can tell them, okay, you can help each other out a little bit now, because some people have a tendency to really go into deep details. Removing a contact lens or something, which is very hard to spot.
Very true. Where did it go?
So give them some time, and then probably at one point everybody will be standing up with their hands in the air, and then you can go for the second round. You ask them to stand back to back again, and ask them to change another 5 things.
Okay, so am I allowed to change stuff back, which would be literally a change again?
This is almost the number one question I get every time I play this game. It has to be 5 new things.
Oh, wow.
5 new things. Yes. So you do that for a second round, and then you turn back to each other again. Same routine as the first round. Find the 5 differences in your soulmate, in your partner. And when you found the 5 differences, the new 5 differences, raise your hand.
Okay. Wow.
Now comes the great part. Then you ask them to stand back to back again.
Oh, wow.
The moment you ask that as a facilitator, people will start to mumble and grumble. Oh, wow. Please change 5 more things about yourself. new things.
That's the third round, right? So we're counting number 15 then, right? Mm-hmm. 10 to 15. Wow. Mm-hmm. So what do people do? I mean, do they remove shoes? Or I can imagine, do you have some hints for us? What do you observe?
I have seen different things, and that's also a key pointer for the debrief. The third round is basically the hardest, because yes, there will be a fourth round. Yes, it is also a bit of a sadistic game.
Well, but only four rounds, okay? Or how many rounds do you normally play?
That depends on the group. Okay. If they're not awkward yet, I will make them awkward.
So you go for number five and number six.
Sure.
Okay. Wow.
But your question was what happens?
Yeah.
People tend to get more creative and start doing weird stuff. So, for instance, putting their glasses up upside down, or putting a shoe on their head, or people are becoming more creative in what they can change about themselves. Mm. One thing I have seen happening is people move places actually entirely, which okay. I thought.
So now you have a new partner, then, right?
Very smart, very smart. That was more than 100 changes in one. But I really liked that one. People will start grumbling and saying, "This is not possible. Yeah. This is not. What are you asking? And I'm quitting. I'm not doing this anymore." And that's don't let people feel unsafe. So make sure that you provide a safe space. So you have to figure out in the group if everyone is still okay.
Yes.
Most of the time, I quit after round three.
Okay. But did it ever happen that someone opted out and said, "Okay, look, this is just I don't really know where this is going"?
One person once, yeah.
Okay.
Who really said, "I'm sorry, I cannot come up with anything anymore"?
Okay.
Who was actually an agile coach, so I was a bit worried, but.
Yeah, you never know what triggers is triggering your participants.
That's true. So
let's imagine you did, let's say, four rounds, right? Mm-hmm. And so the last round was super hard. They turned back. Maybe they spotted the changes. And what then? So everyone is still standing in room with their hands up. How do you start debriefing, or how do you start wrapping it up?
I asked them to stand in a circle. Most of the time that's possible. And my first question is, what was the very first thing you changed in the very first round? If I recollect properly, you said, so people take off their glasses or take off their shoes or...
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. Something easy, I would say.
Yeah, something easy. The funny thing is that 99% of the people, their first change is getting rid of something, losing something. And that's one of the major big eye-openers to me in this game. Okay, so change equals loss.
So you take off, I don't know, a ring, or you take off
shoes,
or you remove something in your hair. Okay, yeah.
Change means loss. So when you think about change, you think about getting rid of something or losing something. And that's a very natural thing, basically. So that's something that we have to take into account if you are a manager, a agile coach, a scrum master, a change agent. If you want to change something in an organization or in your family or wherever, take into account that people have the feeling that they have to lose something to change. And that's for me is a very powerful message in this game.
Okay. And what else? I mean, they understand, okay, I got rid of something. But then they might say, or I can just imagine that I would say, yeah, but, you know, the moment the game progressed, I, you know, maybe even added stuff.
Uh-huh.
Or just changed things or... What other reactions do you get?
The thing is, at first you're working with your primal part of your brain, so you're losing stuff, and then you have to get creative in what other things am I going to change? And then people start getting creative and adding things or putting post-its on their forehead or but also working together with people standing next to them to exchange glasses or shoes or things like that.
Yes, with a neighbor I can you know okay, I can exchange swaps.
What things are other people doing? So I tend to ask questions like, okay, what did you do to come up with new ideas? How did that work? What did you think? What did you feel? What did you... So really working on the experience and the emotions. What did it mean? Mm. What happened when I asked change three more things?
Okay. And can you loop us in? What type of reactions do you get? I mean, is there, you mentioned management groups or random participants. You said that you played this game with teams. Mm-hmm. Are there any particular answers that you get to those questions depending on who you're playing with?
Resistance. I think this is not possible. It is not possible to change five more things about myself. The resilience and or the resistance that was like, this is, stop it. Don't do this anymore. Yeah. I cannot come up with anything anymore. So people get sort of lost in, don't overdo the change. So be aware that you cannot change everything at once. One of the other things that I really find very interesting after the first round is when I asked people, what did you do after the first round? Almost without exception, people change back. People change back.
So they found the changes and then they thought, oh, maybe it's over.
Put the glasses on, put the shoes back on. That's also a very important key lesson from this exercise, is it's not that hard to change. You can change five things about yourself, but to have sustainable change, that's a hard part, because people feel more safe and when they are in the situation they are familiar with. So if people change, it takes hard work and time to actually make that a sustainable change, because they can have a tendency when they're stressed or when their home situation is not okay or things are happening at work to change back to the situation before, because that's familiar and that's safe. So for me, that's also an important lesson. Wow. It's not that hard to change, but to really keep it changed. I don't know a better word than sustainable for it, but
make it stick, sustainable. Forming a new habit, literally, right?
Making it stick makes sense to me.
Okay. So do you have any other favorite debriefings or any other perspectives that you take on what just happened in those, you know, 3 to 4 change rounds?
That's if you ask nicely, you can push people a little bit further than they think is possible themselves. Yeah. So you can spark a little crazy and really coach people into creativity on finding different ways for a same problem. If you do it in the right way. So you can get under the resilience, and you can get under the I don't know, it's sparking the creativity, I think. I just watched the Netflix documentary about the creative brain yesterday evening, and it's like sometimes you have to stress your brain a little to get creative, but it is so rewarding to come up with creative and cool solutions. People start solo, but eventually they will start working together to come up with better ideas. And that's also something that really fascinates me every single time, that people are so willing to help each other. So if you are in need of a change and you cannot figure it out, find help, find other people, find like-minded people or people having the same problems to get creative and come up with something new or something creative or solve a hard problem. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, or act as a role model, right? Or act as an inspiration, or exchange what they've done, right? And how they felt.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Now, look, after the debriefing, how do you make sure that those experiences or insights are translated in, sustainable, or at least into new future behavior? So, because I was just thinking, right, in a company environment, we are asked to change behavior, but then there is a target behavior, right? There's this new set of rules, new things that we should now do, which are right and others might be wrong, but they're in my comfort zone and I'm really used to it. So there's anxiety. And here in the game, you literally open-ended ask them to change anything. So how do you translate that into their day-to-day?
If I do that with a management team, for instance, I'm most of the time I do a follow-up session with a deepening session. Okay, what are the biggest things you have been changing last year and how did they go? And so it will be more of a conversation and a dialogue and maybe throw in some liberating structures there to actually come up with improvements on what they as leaders can do better to coach their people better and help their people better to actually embrace the change. Because to have a strategy and a vision and everything is great, but if you don't know what trickles down from that and how you can make sure that people really truly understand why you are, why do you want change, and don't tell them what to change, but let them figure it out themselves what to change. So it's also about leadership in that sense of the word. So I will have a follow-up session about that and how does this, and I also do this, of course, with the debriefing itself. How does this relate to your day-to-day work? Do you have some examples from your private life or from where this happens or things you can link to this exercise.
Okay, yeah. So what are the biggest takeaways of your participants when you've played the change game with
them? There's always something who starts about don't let me get nude somehow. I don't know what that is, but yeah. There's also always worry about that, but it never happens. trust me. Not even close. when we started this interview, I was talking about the fact that I really embrace the power of playification, and this is one of the great takeaways when I play this game and I explain what playification can do, because in this game you actually feel physically in your body what play can do to make you understand things better. And that's one of the things that I get back a lot from people. You don't have to have tabletop board games with 500 tokens and 3,000 cards and things like that. You can just use a game without all the fluff and just play it with people, but have the same playing experience and learning experience.
And it's a quick one too, right? I mean, 4 rounds or 4 minutes, a little bit intro, and then they're looking for the changes. So this could be done in about 10 to 15 minutes, right?
Yeah. And if you if you do a proper debrief, maybe 20 or something, but yeah.
Sure.
But it's a very quick way of letting people understand the power of play, how absolutely strong it is to experience. Because I can tell you this, you can listen to this podcast and I think, oh, that's a nice game, but if you are really experiencing it, it's a different ball game. And I love it. because of it.
Great. And you were, of course, talking about, several deeper layers of this game. So we explored the change and the emotional reactions, the creativity, and the looking around, getting inspired, maybe asking for help, all the way to, explaining playification and how a playful intervention can be a great starting point to discuss leadership or just change initiatives in general or your own way to approach change. Do you have any other deeper layers that you, not always, but sometimes explore with participants?
If I do it with a team who regularly works together, you can also go into the team dynamic part. So, because of course people look at each other and maybe look up to each other or look down on each other even. So what team patterns do you recognize? Who's the leader of the pack? Did everybody talk as much as they wanted to? Maybe you can even use Dove's style's meeting spicer for it. Think for 20 seconds and
Oh, look, I'm gonna link the meeting spicers from the show notes, so actually I should interview him on meeting spicers.
He will probably be willing to do so. I have some great questions on that. What did you see happening in your team? And a portion of that can also be reflected on how you play the game.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. And I think that's one of the biggest messages we should also send out from this podcast, right? The game is the one thing, but then of course you have to design and tie it to the learning experience, the topic of the day, the group, the company. The change momentum they're in, literally, right? Depending off if they're preparing for change or if they are already stressed with too much change, right? So that can then trigger the insights that can then be helpful for a group or a team.
And next to that, it's a great laugh and great fun. And that's also something that really people tend to talk about it afterwards because it was fun. And hopefully the lessons will also stick, of course.
Of course. But fun is a good hook, for them to remember. And it's emotional. And as we know, the more emotional, the better we can remember. Yeah, an experience. Look, Nancy, I was wondering, can this game be done with distributed teams? Is that possible?
I have never tried. So I might give it a try. It is a bit of a hassle to get your whole person, I think. In
only see half of the person, right? But you see a little bit of the background and the environment.
Yeah, you can, but you cannot. You miss the dimension of seeing other people in the room making changes, of course. So that's a bit of a thing I'm trying to get my head around on how you can work with that. Maybe if you have two teams, so a team in nearshore and team in offshore, for instance, and you have those teams linked together with cameras, that might work, because I see a lot of that in distributed teams that a group of people is on the one side and a group of people is on the other side. I think that could work with camera work.
Yeah, I like that tweet.
So you can actually sneak peek at other soulmates.
True.
I don't know. Maybe I should just try it once. That's the best way to learn, experiment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just, thinking about this question because, some games or some game mechanics can be tweaked. Like, for example, you have a group stand in front of the camera, like the thing that you came up with now. And then it also works, right? Of course, there is some limitations connected to being remotely connected only. But yeah, I guess remote is the new normal sooner or later, I would say. So, look, we talked about leadership, team dynamics. Are there any other, let's say activities or models that you like to show, explain, or explore before or after the change game? Is there anything else that you have to link with that game?
It's actually another game, which is I learned it from Silvana, and I forgot her last name, at Agile in Europe last year in Porto. It shows organizational change in hierarchy. Wow. How am I going to explain it? There's one person who is the CEO of the company standing in the middle of the room, and you already have the free room for the change game, of course. So you already have that. Do you know the game from Lemmings from the 80s, 90s? Someone stands out with their arms stretched at the side of their bodies with their hands up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Okay. Two people are facing the hands of the person standing in the middle. So they have their face really close to the hand, not at the hand, but really close to the hand, and they stand in the same similar way as a lemming stopper. Okay. Then you ask the CEO to move the organization.
Yeah.
So they will move their arms around or hands around, and the management has to follow with their face. So they move their hands, and the face will follow.
Okay.
That's the first one. And then after that, you ask four more volunteers to stand close to the hand of the management. So you have the CEO, you have the manager on each side, and then you have four other people facing the hands of the managers, and also standing with their hands to the sides.
Okay, so now we're seven people, right, in total now.
And then you ask the CEO to move his or her organization again. And some CEOs will make very fast and rapid movements, and you will see that it will become utter chaos. Some CEOs understand that they have to move slowly. I actually have a movie of this, I think. So I will send you. I sent you a link to.
Oh, really?
So you can actually see it, because it's
please do.
Hard one to explain. Now I find out. But then you will see that the people will start following the CEO. At least the managers probably will, and then they have to figure out a way to how to cope with the people that are following their hands. And you can go I've played this game actually with 60 people. That's crazy. And the lessons that are learned from that on for managers, who do you follow? Are you taking care of your people that they are safe, or are you following the CEO? How did it make you feel? People at the end of the organization, did you understand where the CEO is going? Okay. You know, so it's such an elegant, easy exercise to show what it means to move an organization. Okay.
Wow, I can really sense and hear and feel that you love to design strings of serious games to get the learning experience across. Perfect. But look, Nancy, what is a maybe just two more questions? But what is it? Do you have a ultimate facilitation tip for our listeners? So no matter if they're well experienced serious games facilitators, or if they're just starting to explore with their first serious games, what is your ultimate tip?
The thing that I personally find the hardest but the most powerful is shut up.
Okay.
One of the things I learned 2 years ago, I did a education to become a coach with a specialization on team coaching. And one of the things that really, really still is in my mind, that there was one instance, one sentence that really struck me, was the group is showing you as a trainer or a coach or a facilitator what you have to learn. So the group, the people in the group are showing you what you have to learn. And one of the things that my pitfall is, I'm working too hard. I'm making too much noise. I'm giving away all the lessons. I'm pushing too much. I'm teaching too much. And the thing about great facilitation is let people figure it out themselves. So my main tip with this in the back of your mind is shut up more.
Okay. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Nancy, thanks for your time and that we could pick your brain on the change game. So where can our listeners meet you and play with you? I understood you're going to be at the Play 14 in Luxembourg, but any favorite Dutch conferences or European conferences that you will be speaking at?
I will be at Play 14 Prague. I don't know if you will make that one. I hopefully will be a speaker at the DevOps Days in Amsterdam. I will go to Agile in Europe in Riga, Lithuania. That's in August from the top of my head. And I'm always up for a cup of coffee if people want to find me. I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, happyscrummaster.com, anywhere. Just find me or call Julian and ask my number. Or
there you go. I'll add all the links in the show notes. Again, Nancy, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person at Play 14 in Luxembourg. Thanks again. And I have the feeling that one day I will call you up and just ask if we can make another episode of the Serious Games podcast.
Yes, I would really love that. Thank you so much for inviting me. And very cool. Thanks.
Great. Perfect. And to all our listeners, till next time. Bye-bye.
You can reach us at hello@keylearning.net. We're looking forward to your suggestions, comments, and feedback.